Welcome to the Author Factor Podcast, where we break down exactly how smart business owners and corporate leaders leverage the powerful advantage of being a published book author. I'm your host, Mike Capuzzi, and you're in the right place if you want profitable nonfiction book writing tips. Have you ever wondered what it takes to become an award-winning entrepreneur, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, and a passionate philanthropist all rolled into one? My guest today is Matt Shoup, a serial entrepreneur and the creative force behind M&E Painting, Northern Colorado Jiu-Jitsu, and so much more. Matt just published his second book, Painted Baby, which describes how to connect with clients through brave and vulnerable storytelling. Matt, welcome to the show.
Mike, what's up? Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
How's that Spanish coffee?
It is so tasty. I'm on my third.
Third?
9:30 a.m. Colorado. Just to give you a little background. This is my addiction.
That's six shots of espresso?
Between four and six. Depends.
You're amped up for this then, is what you're
saying. I'm an early riser. Yeah, you know, I'm an early 3 to 4 a.m. riser. I get my workout. I get a good routine going. And I'm toast and worthless by about 5 p.m. Oh yeah. And coffee keeps me going. It's the drug I'm addicted to.
There you go. Well, hey, Matt, I just briefly kind of gave a very high level overview. I know you've had a very interesting background and you've done a lot of things, obviously, you know, started a bunch of businesses, et cetera. But why don't you share with our listeners a little bit more about you, your journey, the business that you've started. And then if you don't mind, end up to the present, and your latest book, why you decide to write and publish Painted Baby.
Yeah. No, thanks for asking that. On Podmatch, which is where we met, I see so many, I call it the pretentious bio. And I know that you just looked at the one I sent you and you recapped it. But, you know, what I share in very simple terms is I love people. I love business. I love Jesus. I love coffee. And I love sharing my story with your story to make our stories better together. I've always been a storyteller. And there's parts of my story and my 42 years of life, if you statistically look at the things I experienced growing up and what I went through, I shouldn't be here running any kind of business. I should be dead in prison, addicted to drugs, disappeared. And there's a lot of stories within that story, but sitting here, you know, writing a book, like the fact that I can take a story about a time that we screwed something up in business royally and how we actually used our biggest, dirtiest little secret, right, that everybody has to actually build deeper relationships. That's the premise of Painted Baby. And my whole life has been that. You know, there's been certain points of these adversities and trials that I went through just as a boy growing into a man, and the business end getting fired from a bank, $100 left in my name. I'm upside down debt wise and just making things happen. And my story's just been filled with lessons that I love to share with people. So that's what I get to do all day is literally I hang out with fun, cool people like you, have coffee, tell stories, hear stories, go on podcasts. We have a podcast here and just finished up Painted Baby. And it's been an amazing journey. This book actually took me 7 years to write. I wrote my first book, Become an Award-Winning Company, in 2011 when I had no business writing a book. And not no business, I just had no idea about what writing a book entails and that you actually write it for a reader, not for yourself. And it's not just a business card. There's like, I am an author and I didn't identify as an author, even though I wrote a book for many years, if that means anything. I can dig into that more.
Yeah. I do want to talk on that a little bit here, but, and I don't want to gloss over, I know it's part of your pretentious bio, but you founded a number of companies, a number of businesses, a lot of Main Street businesses. Can you just give a 30-second overview? Because I think a lot of our listeners will find that that's quite interesting what you've done.
Well, and I don't want to do it either. I did miss that part because you asked me, hey, what are the businesses you have? So in 2005, I got laid off from a bank corporate job I hated. I worked a college painting company position in college, so I knew how to run paint crews and paint jobs. Never thought I'd get back into the business. It wasn't cool, wasn't glamorous, wasn't sexy. Bank president kicks me out of the bank March 2005, and I had to make $3,000 in 30 days, and that's all I knew how to do. So we started and founded M&E Painting in 2005 with $100, and we grew it to a $1 million company in 3 years, multimillion in five. From there, that's when people started asking me to speak, coach, write. So that journey started 2010. In the process of all of that starting, a business partner and I, a friend of mine and I, founded something called the Pirate Patch. It's a drywall texture repair tool. We have a patent on that, and everybody told us it couldn't be done. It was an idea on a napkin, had a burrito shop in Loveland. And we now exclusively sell it on Amazon, and it's making some really great money. It was really a story of two guys, again, that on paper, we shouldn't be doing this. Everybody said you couldn't do it. And we were either too stupid, naive, or a little bit of both, and hardworking. And we just believed in the product, and here it is. And then I do some real estate as well. I have a real estate investment company. And the biggest thing we get to do here is we have a big building, about a 5,000 square foot building with a free coffee bar. It's a Spanish coffee bar called Cafe Sevilla. So we live here in Loveland, Colorado, and all of our businesses converge into this building. We have a jiu-jitsu academy downstairs. That's a big part of my story. I got bullied a lot growing up. So really, all of these parts of my story, I've been able to turn into businesses from passions. I still have some passions that I just keep as passions. They'll never be a business. But I literally get to do my passions every day, make money, have fun doing it. And the big thing that overarches all of that is a concept called pouring into people. It's relentless contribution and care for people over money, and having a really fun space to do it in, and storytelling through a leadership program that I developed called The Gentle Art of Leadership. And it all ties together. It seems like a lot. When somebody sees it at face value, they're like, "Well, you're busy." Not really. It's just one relationship at a time. And somebody comes in here, they have coffee, they leave either getting choked out on the jiu-jitsu mats, right? We break them down a little bit just for fun, so we can build people up. And we have this space in our community where a lot of people, businesses, kids that have been bullied, women that have been assaulted, people working for the company that were at a dead end job and broke, now they're buying houses for their family and changing. Like, we get to do that together. And that's the common thread. And it's really fun.
Quick pause. If you're here, you're obviously interested in the power of a well-crafted business book. Have yet to write your first book or thinking about the next one? Make your move. Head over to bitesizebooks.com and secure a session to brainstorm your book idea with me, Mike Capuzzi. With over 240 business leaders and entrepreneurs turned successful authors under my guidance, let's explore if we're the right fit. Your author journey begins today. Now, back to the show. So yeah, Matt, it sounds like you've got a busy day, but I get it. It's great that you've been able to really construct a life around things that you love to do. Now, you were kind enough to send me a digital copy of Paint It Baby, and I wasn't quite sure when I got it, like, what it's about. Is it a book about painting? I know you own the paint business. But I like this concept that you've come up with. So I'm not going to steal your thunder, but I'd like you to share, because I think it's a big idea. I call it a big idea when we talk to, you know, potential book clients, like, what's your big idea? Well, Paint a Baby is a big idea, and what you mean by that. So why don't you describe what that is? And then, if you wouldn't mind, giving a tip or two from the book to kind of entice our listeners.
Yeah, love to. I wrote Paint a Baby as a business book. So the subtitle is Connect with Clients Through Brave and Vulnerable Storytelling. I'm a big believer, and it is truth, that business is just humans serving humans, right? The degree we do that with excellence, we get rewarded with money in the business space, and you make somebody's life better. So you can replace clients with any person that you serve. Connect with the people you lead, connect with whoever. But we live in a world where you go to social media, pick up your social media, scroll through, right? You're going to see posts and pictures and posturing of your friends and your family with the perfect life, the perfect wife, the perfect vacation, the perfect fried eggs in the morning. And we paint a picture of perfection in life, leadership, and business. And painting a picture of perfection prevents true connection. So we're conditioned, like, it's right in your face. So there's this right in your face, hey, everything has to be perfect. So we put our best foot forward, our A+, 5-star, shiny marketing brochure. That's how we're taught to sell, how to show up. And like, we know it's not true as humans. I know I'm not perfect. I know what's going on behind the scenes, behind the camera right over here. But we show up in this way that's totally not the way that's true. And I learned this the hard way at a sales appointment back in 2011. I was about to close the biggest deal of my life. And I'm just giving them the 5-star, A+, the shiny marketing brochure. And the premise of the book is that that's bullcrap. And a customer told that. He goes, this thing is BS. He throws it across the room. I want to know about a time that you screwed up and what you did about it. I had never been asked that in business. I sure didn't talk about that in life. I swept my drug use, drug abuse, all of this story, all of this powerful part of my story that I share today, I put it over here so I could be perfect. And I actually grew a million and then a multi-million dollar business doing that. So like you can do that, but it's really hard. You're on this pedestal you'll set yourself up on, and it's not true. So I was forced in a fun way, I know we have short time, to share a story about a screw up. And we had a paint sprayer explode on a job site, and a 9-month-old baby was in her mother's arms right behind the painter when this paint sprayer blew up, and we painted a baby. We actually had a baby get painted. So that would be the equivalent for you, like on the video section of this podcast, you stand up and you have no pants on, right? Or just that what is that embarrassment? But in that moment, he goes, well, what did you do? And I had to show him that I had integrity when my integrity was tested. I had to show him that I was honest when I had an ability to not be honest or blame it on somebody. So many business owners miss this wave that humans just want to connect. It's Maslow's base hierarchy of needs, right? Over food, water, and the stuff that keeps you alive. And we're missing an ability to connect by being so perfect. And a leader has to understand that when you can be vulnerable, let your guard down and say, hey, like we do a good job, right? I don't want to not tell you about the six companies. Like we do a good job. I've built some businesses, but man, like I was a shitty husband for a while because of some stuff that I never dealt with from my past. Like that's the reality. And that story people want to hear. And people want to hear in business these things.
So that's what I was going to ask, Matt. So even in a business context, you think it's either it's appropriate and makes sense
to share. So like to share a screw up.
Yeah. Well, like you just mentioned just very briefly, I was a shitty husband. Like, would that be something? I've always wondered when people, you know, say, hey, kind of share your dirty laundry, how far in a business context, because that's what this podcast is all about. How far do you go? How far, you know, and again, I'm just going to play because I find this very interesting, but if you did something really bad to a person, you know, growing up, is that a story you think should be shared as an example?
So I would say yes, it depends on the context. And I do talk about this in the book. So whether it's a business story, a personal story, a big screw up, a little screw up, the point is nobody's showing any screw ups. So the first thing you got to do is go, I'm not perfect. And then I show you how to actually capture, craft, and communicate a message that's going to connect with the client that you serve who has a need. There's a demographic. So there's all the business stuff going on. And you have to approach it and say, who is this person? What relationship do we have or not have? You know, it's kind of like, I'll share this. When I went on my second date with my now wife, Emily, okay, I was so in love with her. I met her in the basement of a bar, fell in love right away. It took her like a year to reciprocate. On our second date, I'm like, hey, girl, we'd have really cute kids someday. That was way over the line, right? That was way oversharing. So it depends on the context. If you have this really deep story that maybe you share in a context of like the faith space where you changed your life around, you were a drug addict, and maybe that person's not ready for that because this can backfire if you go real hard, real strong, real deep, real fast. And that just depends. So painted baby story, we actually captured, crafted, and communicated the painted baby story in our sales process for our painting company. That is our company's baseline. Here's where we have a story of screw up, which shows what we're made of. Now, if Kevin, my estimator, is meeting with Bob, a potential client, and they just connect at a level where they start talking about being family guys and that it's difficult to be a husband, and then Kevin goes, yeah, it's difficult. And then he just shares a little bit, right? Steps into that space of let's see what happens. So the tangible point to answer, Mike, is get to that point where everybody's stopping the conversation and then just do this, like one little step over. I told Emily, like I took a 10-year step or a 3-year step. Hey, we're gonna have cute kids. Don't go that far. And that all depends on your personality, like a high extroverted, influential, emotional limbic person, they're going to tell you all about all their feelings and they have no filter. Somebody else might not be. So there's no right or wrong, but you have to be aware enough of the conversation and observant enough to see the response by the person receiving what you're telling them. I know that's a little long-winded, but I just wanted to make that clear.
Matt, I wanted you to bring it out because I know a lot of folks will, you know, they'll read about storytelling, you know, they'll read Painted Baby, like, oh, I got to come up with the most dramatic story and share it, right? And that's not what you're saying. And I've seen people make that mistake. It's like you probably have seen speakers do that from the stage. You sort of cringe, like, wait, what is the context? Why are you telling me about this when we're here at whatever? But I think the biggest idea to take away from, and it is a big idea, is this concept of, you know, showing your warts in the right way because it's a way of connecting. Mm-hmm. I think that's fairly unique, and it should cause anyone listening to sort of pause and think, well, how can I do that? You know, that's why when I page through your book, I was like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. And it is a language that we're not used to speaking. Right? It's a language we're not used to speaking. It's a muscle we haven't flexed. So when you do it, it's really uncomfortable. And I've been in scenarios. I mean, there's a old school car mechanic shop. These guys are old school, hardcore, 60, 70, 80 year old guys. I come in there. How's it going, guys? We're doing good. We're doing good, man. How's business is good. How's family? Family's good. How about you, Matt? Well, we're kind of going through, you know, things are a little difficult. And I'll just, I do this intentionally every time. I just put a little like breadcrumb out there of vulnerability. They're like, well, that's great, man. Here you go. Here's your car. Have a good day. They don't want to talk about it. So because I'm the guy that wrote this, I'm always doing that. And I would also share to anybody listening to this saying, great, this all sounds good, like a really great soundbite from a TED talk. But we went out and tested this and measured this. We interjected the Painted Baby storytelling into a sales storytelling process and measured it. We controlled everything else. And this was the only variable. And it raised first my close rate, 12 to 15%. Then I was able to train and scale that into the sales team, 10 to 12%. So it's measurable. We tracked it. So it's not just, I as a reader of books and a writer of books, I love the inspirational story, right? The heart grab, the hook. Oh, I'm crying with you. I'm hurting with you. I'm there with you. Okay, great. You leave and there's nothing to hold on to. Like, now what do I do, right? Start with why. Well, how do I get to the why, right? What is that? There's steps in this book. It's the six C's of brave and vulnerable storytelling. And then when you take that story, the steps of the Painted Baby storytelling process, this book has 7 questions to filter feedback in chapter 9. Because when you do this and you share a story, people are going to have feedback and not all of it matters. So there's a system. So the logical, tangible 1, 2, 3 ABC reader will love this just as much as the, this is amazing. Oh, I'm going to cry with you. Because there's amazing stories in here. There's wonderful stories of people. I'm not going to give it away. There's some really great stories other than mine of people that had some big challenges in life and they leaned into that story, told it, and it changed their life, business, family.
So Matt, let me jump in because I am watching the clock too. So I'm going to probably cut some questions short. I have another question. I just want to kind of an off the cuff question because I am an introvert, right? I'm a people person. I've spoken on stage, published a ton of books. I can engage with the best of them. My modus operandi is leave me alone, right? I don't need, you know, I find it, you're talking about that muscle memory and that's a muscle that, you know, I don't share much of anything. It's very intentional. It's not that I can't. Mm-hmm. What is your suggestion for someone like me who is just much more, I don't want to say the word private, but just less inclined to want to share?
Yep. Totally, totally understand is I'm an extrovert, right? So just you're cutting me short because I'm over speaking and I know we have 20 minutes, right? No, I get it. I get it. Like in as few words as possible is don't compare your extroversion to my or your introversion to my extroversion. Mm-hmm. Just compare to what can you do to step one step outside of that zone of comfort within your introversion. Put that breadcrumb out. And you put it out to an extrovert, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, just you as an introvert, because I'm highly certified in behavioral analytics and methodology, DISC and Intermetrics, all these things. When an introvert just says, hey, with a smile, can I share something about me that I don't usually share? I eat too many peanut M&Ms. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's so much information.
Wait, did my wife tell you that?
No, but I do. I have a bag of them right here. But the extrovert, they love that. They suck that up. So your level of you're going to see an extrovert step out of their comfort zone, and it's going to freak you out. It's going to fry your computer. You're going to run and hide when that happens. So just it's in relation to you and nobody else.
Very cool. Now it's like
be a little more vulnerable. Yeah, a little bit more.
Well, and I think it's again intentionality, context. But again, most, and you're right, especially if you're of a certain age. I'm older than you. I'm not as old as your mechanics, but you sort of were brought up in a different era where things weren't as maybe as free and open when it came to sharing these kind of messages. But I think it's a very interesting concept. Matt, I'd love to kind of just land on, you've written two books, Painted Babies New. It's an interesting concept that everyone should check out. I'd love to hear from your own point of view what being a published book author has meant to you or your business. The impact of being a book author.
I think it's really interesting. If I look at what it's brought to me and for me selfishly, there's a whole list of things, right? Builds the business, builds the brand, builds your credibility, all of those things. Those are great. There's a return on the investment. When I wrote the book with my publisher, I did a North Star call, and they say, what do you want somebody sitting in a bar talking about your book? Maybe they had a drink or two and they're just telling the truth. What are they saying at that bar? And you're not there. You're just the fly on the wall listening. And we had that North Star call 3 months ago. About 3 months after Painted Baby came out, I was at a restaurant and there were a couple of people at the bar. They had quite a bit to drink. And they came up to me and told me how this book that is about connecting with clients had challenged them to be brave and vulnerable in a deeper part of their life with some struggles they had. I had another gentleman call me who was, he was ready to take his own life and just give up on his journey because things were hard and he didn't think he could share it with anybody. I'm like, I wrote this as a business book initially 7 years ago to close more business. Like how, I don't want to say small-sighted is that, but the business world needs that. But that, I don't care about a book sale. Like I'll sell books. I know how to sell books. That kind of stuff. When somebody comes up and says, this message is exactly what you put out and more, and I'm just hearing every day there's a deeper message in this message, and that will live beyond me, beyond the book sales, beyond the clout, beyond whatever that is, which is important and you need it. That's why I do this. I actually just signed a contract with an illustrator yesterday to write a kid's book. So I'm working on that for the next year. We'll do another podcast about that. But I mean, like, this is my calling. This is why I'm here. And I would just close with whatever listeners are listening. I got tied up because of what I thought people thought I should be or what they thought about what I was writing. And I was really hard on myself. Everybody has a message. Everybody has a story and everybody needs to put a book out there. Because you live a book, it's your life, and you dictate what that story is. And if you don't like it, you can change it. And I put Painted Baby down almost permanently. And I was challenged by another author to pick it back up and finish it. And I can't thank him enough. It's Mike McAllowicz, a great friend of mine. So that's what it means to me. And I would just encourage anybody listening to wherever you're at in that journey, just keep writing and pushing forward, please.
And I'd also share, Matt, I think what you shared there about the bar, people in the bar and the gentleman who called you, I've shared this before. I've had other guests say the same thing. Like, you know, when you do a book, right, there's all the sort of obvious things and the selling and the launch and all this stuff. But, you know, you'll get some reviews and stuff like that. But you have no idea of what your book can do and how it can impact lives. Yeah. And chances are you won't know about 99% of them because people aren't leaving a review. They're not bumping to you in a bar. But that book won't have that impact if it ever gets done. So to your point of like even Mike encouraging mm-hmm. you to get this done, like, you know, if someone's listening to this right now and they've been sitting, I would highly encourage because it's not about you. Someone needs that message. And if it's not out there, it's not going to change people's lives. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
So thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, how can our listeners learn more about you and where's the best place to get Painted Baby?
Yeah. So everything is at mattshoup.com, S-H-O-U-P. So when you go there, you can get links to the book pages. I've got a set of free tools and resources for businesses at different levels, whether they're just getting started, they're getting going and they're the bottleneck, or they're making some good money and success, but they don't have significance. And got tons of free resources as well as other things, books, trips to Spain, leadership adventures. It's all there.
Very good. Well, we'll make sure we have it in the show notes. Hey, Matt, I do appreciate it. And, you know, folks, check out Paint It Baby. You go back to your fourth or fifth Spanish coffee. I'll let you go.
I'm going to stop at three.
For
now. I'm going to chill out, start with, keep going a little water here.
All right. Well, Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Author Factor podcast. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on Apple iTunes. Subscribe, tell a friend, and go grab the notes and extras at theauthorfactor.com. And to learn more about my unique short book publishing services, please check out bitesizebooks.com. See you next time.